Welcome to Martha and Bill's lovely garden. I love coming here. Can't hear me? Talk louder.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I love coming here. I've been coming here now, I don't know, 06?
So, I don't know.
Oh, I think it's 06.
06, okay. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
For a lot of years. And I know most of you, pretty much. I don't think we've met before.
Nope.
But I think everybody else is pretty familiar. I recently had a pretty interesting experience. That's why I came here this time around. Specifically, is I was invited to be a keynote speaker for a corporate event in Las Vegas. It's a company that sells vitamins, minerals, and supplements. I would not be the first guy that would spring to mind to address people at such an event. So it was a very unusual experience for me. But I thought it was a harbinger of things to come. Because as we all know, corporations, they're concerned with generally one thing, and that is profit, the bottom line. Because without it, they don't continue. But this organization is concerned about the spiritual and personal development of their people. Very different. Very different. I haven't really met a corporation like that. Now, I've met people in corporations. I've met executives in corporations who would have such concerns. But for their employees, their people, no, not first time. And I've been at this a long time. I've been doing Vedic astrology and consultation for about 35 years, 22 of them full time. And this company is, as you can imagine, a multi-level marketing company. It's called Your Health. But it was a very exhilarating experience to be able to address 1,700 people. And many of them are already my clients. Everybody has been advised to sit down and have a consultation with me at some point in time. So needless to say, I'll be busy for some time to come into the future. But maybe it's a sign of the times. A sign of things to come. We are at a precipice, in case you hadn't noticed, in our world with the economy, the banking system, the stock market, politics, Wall Street. What am I missing? Real estate. You know. And we've been living this imaginary will-o'-the-wisp lifestyle based on let's borrow and let's just create debt and everything will be fine. Because that's never something you actually have to pay back. Well, you know, it's all caving in on itself. And on the one hand, I guess that's scary for many people, because I know we're invested in this system. On the other hand, maybe that's exactly what we need. You know, I'm not wishing it on anybody, but if this doesn't implode, and if it doesn't get rectified, if we don't put together a genuine system that exists on solid principles, such as the gold standard, for example, there's a novel thought. Then how do we continue with this false system that we've embraced or been led to embrace? There you go, Chris. Anyway, for those of you who came to hear what I had to say astrologically about what's going to happen, I don't know. I did predict the crash in 2008. I predicted that accurately. But I don't know exactly when this is going to turn around. And there are other forces manipulating things, so I'm not sure. I will say this astrologically. Right now, we happen to be in a very unique time. And that is because Saturn in the sky, and of course, my calculations are all done Vedically, according to the Vedic system, which I can touch on in a moment. This is not the Western system of astrology that you find in the newspaper under horoscopes. This is the original system dating back to 3000 BC India. I always tell people 3000 BC India. Is that actually when it began? No. But people can sort of grasp that. Because in ancient traditions, before anything was written down, there was always an oral system. Knowledge was always passed down orally. And then when our brains began to deteriorate and our minds became weak, oh yes, my friends, this has happened, then there was a need to write it down. 3000 BC India, roughly. Saturn is in Libra as we speak. Saturn has entered the sign of Libra on November 15th of 2011. He will remain in the sign of Libra until November 2nd, 2014. That's 3 years. That's a long period of time. Saturn is the tortoise. As I've told many of you, he's in no hurry to do anything. He takes his own sweet time. It takes him 30 years to go through the zodiac. It takes the moon 28 days. So you can see their time frames are a little bit different. Why is Saturn in Libra important? Because that is Saturn's sign of exaltation. A planet can be exalted at its most powerful point. The best sign it can be in one sign out of 12 only. So you have a 1 in 12 shot of having an exalted planet in your birth chart or in the sky at a given time. 1 in 12, not good odds. Therefore, most people do not have exalted planets when they're born. The more exalted planets you have, generally the more dynamic a soul you are. That's usually how it works. If we had an incarnation of God, an avatar sitting here among us, then we would expect he or she to have 5, 6, or 7 exalted planets in their birth chart. You don't see that very often, especially nowadays. Is it possible? It's possible. I've seen several charts of incarnations of God. If we look back in the Vedic system and the Vedic tradition. When we speak of Vedic tradition, we mean that which stems from the Vedas, which are books of knowledge and science. Veda means knowledge. This is not Hinduism. It's not Buddhism. It predates all of that. So, back to Saturn. Saturn is a planet of form and structure. What we need to happen is a restructuring or a reformation, a reconceiving of our reality, how we live. Now we can say our economic reality, but that seems too small a part of it. So we have an opportunity now, I'd say, in the next couple of years to really reconstruct or reconceive our society. We have the Occupy movements going on. I don't follow them that closely. They seem to me like a good idea. I'm not sure how effective they're going to be in terms of the powers that be that actually control things, or may I say manipulate things to their own advantage and oftentimes to our disadvantage. But if we could do something to turn things around as a populace, as mankind, or as a nation, then now would be our time. We'd have our best shot right now. Saturn represents the masses. It's the people. And the power is always in the hands of the people. By the way, I'm not trying to foment revolution here. So let's be clear. You know, I'm past 18 or 29, so. The power is in the hands of the people. It always is. Unless we turn it over to somebody else. And then we don't have it anymore because we turned it over. And we've agreed to something, or we're being given the fast shuffle. Anyway, those are some words for thought, because this is the time.
And we have 2 years?
We have 2 years remaining till November 2nd of 2014. Now, it's not like they're going to put on the brakes at that day, and, you know, things don't usually happen like that. And then Saturn goes into the sign of Scorpio. See, right now, the strength or the momentum would lie more completely with the people. Whereas, once Saturn moves into Scorpio, November 2nd of 2014, that would not be the case. So, you know, it's a carpe diem. Seize the day. Take advantage of the moment.
So it gets a little darker when it goes into Scorpio.
It gets a little darker when it goes into Scorpio, and the people, Scorpio is a sign of victimization. And people who carry a victim attitude, and people who are prone to self-sabotage or feel unworthy or feel that they must be mistreated have strong Scorpio influences, and they draw to themselves negative energy and negative experiences. So it doesn't bode as well for Saturn when it goes into Scorpio. Speaking of which, there are only, I've said this many times, you may or may not have heard it, there are only three roles you can take in life. There's only three available. So you have to decide which role you're going to live or assume. Victims, victimizers, and victors. That's it. There's nothing else available. 95% of the populace are victims and victimizers. If you don't believe me, read the newspaper. It's full of them. Which kinds? Both. Now, I don't know if it's 95%. I know it's the vast majority. So, can you be a victim and a victimizer? Sure. Why not? And that's what most people assume. A victor is a person who victimizes no one and who is victimized by no one. This we call the win-win situation. That's really the only choice there is. And certainly, it's the only choice you should make. I know most of you are not victimizers. You don't take advantage of people. You don't prey on people and try to get your way with them. So that's good. But it is also important for you not to take the role of the victim, where somebody is taking advantage of you and manipulating you in some unfortunate manner. In Ireland, where I live with my Irish wife, when somebody's in victim mode, they simply say, "Get down off the cross, we need the wood." So, don't remain in victim mode. So there's a lot of victims and victimizers, a lot of that stuff going on. And maybe in this Saturn in Libra time, we can somehow turn that around. I don't know. I wanted to mention a few things about spirituality today. That's how this talk was billed. Because normally what I talk about is astrology. And astrology, I guess I should say a couple things about it. It's a map of your karma. It'll show you what you're here to learn, what you're doing here in this lifetime, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, how your karma is unfolding, especially if we have an accurate birth time. Nick, we just revised Nick's chart. He found the baby book. We found the exact time written. Because for several years now, we've been using the wrong birth time. And I tell you, it fits now. It fits. So with the accurate birth time, you know, it's amazing. What's amazing is God. God is amazing. And I got into a bit of a thing the other night in San Diego when I was speaking in front of a large group of people. And one Filipino man was in tears at the microphone and saying, "Which God do you mean?" I said, "Same God." "No, it's not." I says, "Yes, it is. Religion starts wars. We're not going to go there. More wars have been started over religion. If you ought to be right, my friend, the rest of us must have to be wrong, and we got a problem." I said, "Your God, the Hindu God, the Muslim God, everybody's God, it's the same God. That's all there's to it." Anyway, God in His infinite wisdom has given us so many opportunities to understand our place in the universe and to read into things. One can read into things. Astrology is a map of your karma. It's a map from the heavens at the time of your birth. Did I make it up? No. God made it up when God created the universe. And some, nowadays it's very popular to say God didn't create anything. The scientists like to put forth different theories about what happened. If you study scientific theories historically, you'll find they change. And the old ones get thrown out, and new ones replace them, and so it goes. Why is that? Because there's two kinds of knowledge. One can gain knowledge through two methods: the ascending method and the descending method. We as human beings, no matter how bright and intelligent we might be, and many of us are very bright and intelligent, are limited in our understanding. How do you grasp the infinite with a finite mind? How do you grasp it? How does a child in first grade doing arithmetic grasp calculus? How? It's not possible. It's a good analogy. So we try to understand through speculation, through what's the term? It's escaping me. Through scientific theory and experimentation, etc., how things work. That is the ascending method. We're going from Earth up. We're going from our limited minds up. When you have a source of knowledge, and I'm speaking of the Vedic source of knowledge because I've studied most religions, and I've studied the Vedic tradition from the original Sanskrit language. I studied Sanskrit, Bengali, Hindi, French, Spanish, Latin, English, Italian, but from Sanskrit, which is the most advanced language, computer language is based in Sanskrit, is the most harmonious language for computer programming. Which is good to know because we're in Silicon Valley, I mean, after all. So the descending process is getting the knowledge from above, getting it from the horse's mouth. So that's the experience one has when one studies the Vedas from the Sanskrit language, because every science known to man is available in the Vedas. I was talking to John just before we began today, and he was asking me about, I don't know how he was asking me, but it was essentially about sacred architecture. And there is a science of sacred architecture called Vastu, and spatial arrangement and how buildings should be built and what direction they should face, and the fact that they should have a courtyard or an empty space in the center of the building. And if you look at all the ancient buildings and castles and courtyards and temples, they all have this big open space in the middle, you know, and they all should face either east or north, the main entrance. Those are just some simple principles of Vastu. And then I was mentioning that there's a whole science called Shilpa Shastra, which is the science of sculpture and how to sculpt divine forms, how the higher beings look. What higher beings? The beings who run the universe. The celestials, the gods, the goddesses, the angels, the divine beings who manage everything. What do you mean? I've never seen any of them. They must not exist. Well, you've never seen radio waves either, and they exist. You've never seen a company or corporation run without a manager. Not possible. So everything requires management. So on the higher planets, we live on the middle planets, and then there are lower planets. Heavenly, earthly, hellish. On the higher planets, the beings are quite a bit more beautiful than we are. And we have some beautiful people on this planet. And the science of facial and bodily proportion, just like Fibonacci numbers, for example, all of that is available in the Vedas. So you name the science, It's there. John was mentioning a Sanskrit scroll that was discovered in somebody's family. They had it for 2,000 years. And no one bothered to read it. It was an Indian family. And finally, one day they said, maybe we should get it read. Okay, good idea. Well, it was the cure for diabetes. And what, 11 herbs? So, that's the science of Ayurveda, Ayurvedic medicine. Ayurveda goes hand in hand with Vedic astrology, which goes hand in hand with Vastu, sacred architecture. It all fits together. Some people can read faces. You can read all about a person's life and what kind of person they are by their face. Some people read palms. It's there too. It's everywhere. The knowledge, you're inundated with it. You're surrounded by it. It's available. We just have to take advantage of it and pay attention to it. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, since we're talking about Sanskrit, we may as well quote a verse. Vasangshi jirnani yatavihoya navani granati naroparani tatashirirani vihaya jirnani anyani sangyati navani dehi. That means that as a person takes off old and worn out garments and puts on new ones, the soul sheds old and worn out bodies and takes on a new one. So, there is a verse explaining reincarnation. If we'd only understand reincarnation and accept it. Reincarnation, for those of you who enjoy or like the Bible, reincarnation was part of biblical books back in the day. But when Constantine called his big convocation, I don't remember the dates now, 500 AD, I mean it was way back. Constantine was the Caesar of the Roman Empire at that time. The Roman Empire at that time had extended all the way to Britain. Constantine was a bloke. He was British. And he wanted to kind of centralize the teachings of Christianity so we got everybody on the same page. And by telling people that they would take another birth and their karma could continue and they could have as many births as they needed, that didn't put the church in the position it needed to be in order to control the populace. So throw that one out. Forget that reincarnation business. That's not going to work for us. Reincarnation, karma, what goes around comes around. If we would just grasp two simple concepts, reincarnation and karma, I tell you, our lives would be so much simpler. And can you imagine the degree of fear that would literally evaporate if we understood these two principles? We are plagued by fear. And we're afraid of so many different things. What is absolutely the worst thing that could happen to you? You die. And then what? Well, you're actually not going to be dead. Really? Really? You're actually still going to be alive. Well, my body will be dead. Yeah. You know, we can't all be like motoring around like Arnold here at 95. Arnold's a unique individual. So then we leave our body. Oh, we get another body. Really? Yeah, a fresh one, a new one. New womb. Oh. Well, how many of these bodies do we get? Two? Three? Thousands. How many do you want? As many as you want, you can have. No limit. That is called the infinite mercy of God. Right? When you're teaching a baby how to walk, you ever done that? It's a wonderful experience. I've done it. It's a special time. And, you know, you got your fingers, the hands, the little hands are wrapped around the two fingers, and you're walking behind, right? And you say, okay, you ready now? You ready? And you take your fingers away, and out goes the foot, and boom, down he goes on his bum. And you say, wonderful. That was great. He just failed, but well, that's what we do. Oh, great. Because he tried, right? Gave it a try. And how many tries will you give him before you become fed up with him? And say, you dumb kid, you'll never be able to walk. Just crawl. I'm fed up with you. You know, I was going to be proud of you, but now I'm not, so. And there'll be no dinner for you today. When do you do that? You don't. It's the same with God. Oh, I screwed up again, God. You gave me this life, I just screwed it up again. It's okay. No problem. I give you another one. Really? Sure. How many do I get? As many as you want. Till you learn. Till you learn. What am I supposed to learn? Well, this is kind of how it works. There are various versions of this. This is kind of how it works. You're up there in the spiritual world with God. Everything's pretty nice up there. Beautiful people. Everybody's really nice. I mean, there's no gossip going on. Yeah. There's no envy. No one's talking behind anybody's back. No backstabbing going on. It's just so many nice people here. And you can enjoy life to the full and hang out with God and hang out with God. You can visit God. Wow. And I'm absolutely beautiful. And I never die. And I don't grow old. Well, good deal. And then one day you wake up and you go, I don't know, why is it all about God here? You know, God's at the center. What about me? You know, I'm kind of feeling like I should maybe be at the center of the action. Because he's getting all the glory, all the attention. He's getting all the press. He's getting it all. So that's what you say to God. You know, I'm not sure if I want to do this anymore like this. God says, no problem. No problem. You want to be the center of attention. Yeah. We can organize that for you.
So there's ego up there?
There is ego. Once he has the ego, he must go. And God says, yeah. But you can't do that here. I got a special place for you. It's down there. It's creation. and you can go there. You know, that's the old, but whatever you do, do not eat any apples from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's where that one fits in. Oops, I ate one of the apples. So down you go, and now here you are, the center of your universe. You are, and 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 I am. How's it working out for you? Have you got everybody to orbit around you now? Is that working out okay? Is there everybody in sync in the orbit? Is it? What do you mean? There's a couple that are out of sync with your orbit? Boy, they don't know who you are, how important you are. God, these people, even you educate them, they don't listen. So that's what we do down here.
But don't we also expand the universe by being creative? And you know, why else would we come here? If
well, you still have all of those wonderful symptoms that you would have had, because at heart or in your essence, you're a soul. So you have all those symptoms, but they're considered to be perverted because God is no longer at the center. You're at the center. Your desires are the center, not God's desires. So how do we know we don't belong here? You could argue, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. My life is a breeze. Everything is wonderful. I'm loved. I love. I have tons of money, and I'm successful. And more importantly, I'm happy. Okay. Great. And what about this growing old part? You want that? No. And what about this suffering? You want that? No. And what about this disease you get from time to time? You want that? No. And what about this dying business? Did you sign up for that? No. Well, there's your proof positive that this is not where you belong. Because you don't want any of those things. In the spiritual world, the soul, which is really you, not the body. Your body is the walnut shell. You're the walnut. In the spiritual world, there are three symptoms of life or of the soul. And they are, do you know, in Sanskrit, sat, chit, ananda, satchit ananda. Sat means eternal, no death. I don't like this death business myself. I don't like this growing old stuff. I don't like growing old. It doesn't suit me. Sat chit is knowledge, understanding, revelation, realization. What I've been counseling people for 35 years. What is the thing that I have found that creates most problems for people? Confusion and bewilderment. Not knowing what to do. It's not even fear. It's not knowing what to do. What should I do? This is what happens to us. And you may not feel confused now, but wait. It comes round, as we know. Some people I have met, and so have you, spend their entire lives in confusion, unfortunately. So chit means full knowledge. Does it mean you'll become a physicist? Not exactly. It means you'll understand how things work, how things fit in. Right? And what's the third one? Ananda. What's ananda? Bliss. Happiness. Unadulterated happiness. Why? Because I got a new Beamer? No. Just cause. For no particular reason. Can you have a new Beamer? Sure. Why not? But just cause. Just for the sake of being, I'm happy. I don't need anything. I can have things. I could not have things. It doesn't matter. Right? So, the more you come in touch with that, even in this life, we have a better chance of not taking birth again. We are on a wheel of samsara. Samsara means repeated birth and death, reincarnation. Around and around and around, just like a hamster on a wheel, right? When will you get off? If you say, no, I love it here, I want to come back time and time again, no problem. They will manufacture you another body. There is a man and woman right now getting ready to have a baby, and who knows, that might be you. So that's no problem. So when you get tired of this hamster wheel of material life, you can get off. Is it that easy? Nah, it's not so easy. If at the time of death you have any karma, unfinished karma, then you have to come back. So what is karma? You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. Everybody knows this. You can go to a tribe in the Amazon jungle right now who've never seen another person, and they understand what goes around comes around. Everybody understands it. Right? That's karma. If you do good things, then you will come back in your next life and you will enjoy good results. If you do bad things, you'll come back and you'll suffer, and everything else in between. There's a verse that explains karma. Anishtam mishtam mishram cha. That's it. One line. Anishtam mishtam mishram cha. Anishtam means, ishta means desirable. Anishta means not desirable. Anishtam, ishtam, desirable. Mishram means mixed. Cha means mixed. So you got undesirable, desirable, and mixed. That's karma. Right? So if you have any karma at the point of death, you have to come back. If you have any material desires at the point of death, you come back. What are material desires? Related to matter, the body. If you have one material desire at the point of death, you got a body. You bought yourself a body. You're back. Why? So you can fulfill the desire.
But who's not going to have karma when they die?
Well, this is how you do it. I haven't explained that part yet. The way you burn off karma, existing karma, and the way you do not generate karma is by reconnecting to God. Because in this world we are egocentric, everything is done for the ego and for the benefit of the ego. When you are acting out of ego, you are generating karma. Okay? So if you do something negative to somebody, that's going to be negative karma, and you do it, well, whatever your reasons might have been. Okay? So you must come back and suffer the consequences of that deed, that karma. Okay? But you say, no, I just donated $100,000 to such and such charity. In fact, they even took my photo with the big check. I was in the paper. And that's what I did. Well, that's good karma, isn't it? You just helped a bunch of people. So you're going to have to do what? Come back and enjoy the results of your good karma.
But maybe they did it to feed their ego and get their name again.
If it's egocentric, then it produces karma. Okay? So how do we not produce karma if we still have to act? Who cannot act in the world? You have to act. I mean, you have to feed yourself. You have to act. Everybody has to act. There's no choice. Even if you sit in a cave, you have to act. By offering everything to God. That's how you neutralize karma. I don't do it for me. I do it for you. That's how you shift the consciousness. Why would you do that? Why do you do things for other people? Out of? What? Out of love. Don't you do nice things for people out of love? A loving deed, being helpful, being loving, being kind, right? You do it all the time. Well, I hope all the time. So you're doing something loving. Do something loving for God. Most people think of God as the order supplier. God, this is my list. Could we get this before February? And this one we need next week. Thanks very much. Yeah. So what do you do for God? When you shift your consciousness in a loving manner and do things for God. No, you're doing what you would normally do, but you're not doing it with ego. You're doing it with soul, with spirit. You're doing it in a loving manner. You're offering it to God. There is no karma. No karma attached. That's how you do it. And by spiritual practice, mantra, yoga, meditation, prayer, that's how you burn up the existing karma. So if at the time of death you have no material desires, no desires connected to the body, and you have neutralized all your karma, you don't come back. You can go to the spiritual world and hang out with the beautiful people who never die. What's that like? That's how it works. Here in this world, we operate in a horizontal manner. Most of us. What does that mean? We live life horizontally on a human scale. Because it's all happening down here. We need to start to live life vertically. Vertically means bringing in the divine, bringing in God, bringing in higher consciousness. When we add this to the mix, then we get this. Where does that symbol come from? That's where it comes from. Living life horizontally will sooner or later drain you and lead you to death. If you don't believe me, you're not paying attention, because that's where we're all headed. Living life vertically, adding the vertical principle, the divine principle, will shift everything. So, that's what I invite you to do. Okay. Questions, comments, clarifications?
I have a question. When you speak of the moment of death and not having any material desires of the body, can you give me...
Any desire connected to the body, like... Oh, I'm going to die. I'm so, you know, I'm not going to be able to eat barbecue ribs anymore because I love barbecue ribs.
Or what if you don't want to be in pain anymore?
Well, not wanting to be in pain is natural. The soul does not want to be in pain.
So that's not a want then.
No, not wanting to be in pain is to want to be in your natural state, which is pain-free. That's not a desire connected to the body, even though the body may be riddled with pain. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I was never happy in marriage in my lifetime. If I could all, I just want to be happy in marriage. I just want a woman or a man who will love me. Okay, here's another body. Give it another bash. No problem. You know, or I just want my children to love me. I didn't get along with my children. Okay, here's another body. Have some more children.
So I'm just thinking in terms of, like, you know, say, like one of my hospice patients, you know, he's 52 years old, and, you know, he wanted, I believe he surrendered in the last days, but he wanted to live long enough to see his kids graduate.
That's a material desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he had that within the last couple days, he surrendered.
Look, if he surrendered in the last second before death and gave it all up to God, he wouldn't have to take another breath. It only takes a second. But you have to surrender. You have to. You know how I was talking to somebody about loving relationships. You know how we go into relationship? Now, I'm not trying to say this is true for everybody. Most of us in our modern day world go into relationship like, yeah, okay, I'll go into relationship with you. But I'm going to hold something back just in case. I'm going to hold this back. I'm going to give, but I'm going to hold this back. So I can see how it goes to see if I really want to give and surrender. Love is surrender. Love is not holding back. That's not love. To anybody who's holding back in relationship, you're just waiting for something to go wrong, so then you've got something in reserve. Okay, so that's cool. I was ready for this. You know, for the eventuality that this was not going to work out. Now, you programmed the eventuality that it wasn't going to work out, and now it's come about, and you didn't surrender to begin with. And oftentimes what we see in relationship is maybe one person surrenders, generally the woman, more often than not, less and less now, but the woman is more inclined to surrender than the man is. All right, in other words, we have one person surrendering, the other person isn't. So one person is fully committed, the other person isn't. So same idea. Surrender is your ultimate savior in relationship and at the point of death. If you keep holding on at the point of death, holding on to the, if only I could see my kids graduate, okay, don't worry. You'll be back your next life and you can see your kids graduate. They might be different kids, you might have a different body. You may no longer be American. You may be Taiwanese. I mean, who knows? You know.
But I think it's selfish to think that we're the only life-sustaining rock.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not only selfish. I mean, it's so narrow that it's
very
like
narrow to think that. So when you talk about coming back, it's not necessarily to this rock.
No.
Correct. Could be anywhere. Right. In whatever.
And you could also, which I did not mention.
Form, right? I mean, not necessarily in our form.
No. You can also be promoted to the heavenly realms, heavenly planets, where the real enjoyment takes place. But it too comes to an end at some point in time.
And are they there to learn lessons also?
No, they're there to enjoy. That's party place. That's where you got all this good karmic bank balance.
So why are they there?
To enjoy themselves. That's why they're there.
Well, I think I'm going there next.
It's like, why do you go on a vacation? What are you there for? What do you mean, what am I here for? To enjoy myself. I know why I'm here. You mean you're not going to work? No. I'm going to party down. I'm going to get wild and crazy and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Really?
But they're not physical.
No, they're subtler beings, you know. There are different planets where the element is, the predominant element is different. We are an earthly planet. What's our predominant element in the makeup of our body?
Water
and earth, right? We're all made out of earth and water. Predominantly.
And we have gravity.
We also have fire. We also have air. And ether means space. space for it all, in which all can take place. You need space. You need some room. On the sun planet, that place is occupied, according to the Vedas. And they have bodies made of?
Fire.
Fire, of course. Else they burn. They have fire bodies. So there's different bodies in different places. Whatever, you know, whatever works. You know, to think that this is the be-all and end-all, this is the best God could do, I mean, come on. Not true. Anything else? I'm here for a few more days. If anybody's interested in doing Vedic astrology consultation, then I have a few spaces open. And other than that, I thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you.
And we'll thank Billy and Martha for their wonderful hospitality. I told them the other day, I said, you know, I love coming here because they just look after you. And I said to them, I said, you know, my life has been, I'm sort of a guy who looks after people. That's who I am. That's what I do. And that's what I do professionally, and that's what I do personally. But when I come here, I get looked after really, really nicely by both Bill and Martha. And for me, that, you know, I find that irresistible. And in this garden. So I just keep coming back and say, is it okay if I come now? Drew wants to come again. Okay, all right, let him come. It's kind of like... he's burning off the karma by tolerating me. There you go. Very good. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.